I'm Kelby Dover.
And I'm Nick Arbuckle.
We're Kid Politics, and you're listening to A Coming of Age.
What's up, everyone? I'm Kira.
And I'm Julia. Welcome or welcome back to A Coming of Age movie.
This week, we're super excited to be joined by Kelby and Nick from pop duo Kid Politics.
Thank you guys so much for coming on.
We're stoked to be here. Thanks for having us.
This is exciting. We're glad to be here chatting with you guys.
Super excited. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're great. We're just vibing out here in Nashville today. Got a little iced coffee on a... Today's Monday, right?
Monday morning, yes.
So we're vibing out here. Just trying to keep track of one of our songs is about to hit 2 million plays. So we're just kind of vibing out and celebrating that this morning.
That's
so
awesome.
Crazy. It's blowing our minds.
Which song?
It's a song called Lost in the Jungle. And yeah, it's the song that I think most people that we meet online say that they found our band through that song. And so it's literally, it's probably going to hit 2 million today. So we're vibing.
That's awesome. Amazing. I'm glad that we caught you on a good day.
Yes.
So to start off, really general question, just for anyone who doesn't know, who is Kid Politics? How do you guys know each other? And yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question. Kid Politics, so is the two of us. So I'm Kelby, this is Nick, and yeah, we're a pop duo from Nashville, Tennessee. We're kind of like an alt pop rock kind of situation. And so we met each other a few years ago in town. So Nick is from Texas originally. I'm from Georgia, and we moved here in 2015. And both moved to Nashville to do like the pop rock world and met each other while we were writing songs and trying to tour in that side of it all. And it's been great ever since.
That's great.
Yeah.
Sounds like a very successful move to Nashville.
We both moved here from different places, didn't know each other before we moved here, but it just, I don't know, as soon as we started playing together, I don't think, at least I speak for myself, but like I've never played with a musician that I've kind of meshed with so well, and it just made so much sense to make this a duo. It's been a dream to really be in a band with like your best friends, you know. And so really do it with like the people you want to do it with is a dream come true.
Yeah. And to add to that, when I first met Kelby, I just loved his songwriting and his vocal capabilities. He's one of the best singers in Nashville, if not the best. And so we started getting together, making music. He's a great producer as well, so he could make the songs really come to life. And then we'd go out and tour and play live shows here in Nashville and everywhere else, and really the ball moving with that. And things have just been on the up ever since.
Well, it's great that you get along, you know, like as friends, and you also have like your styles go together, because I feel like it's rare to have that kind of relationship where you're able to just connect on every level instead of like, you know, oh, we're great friends, but you know, our music doesn't sound too good. So that's really great.
Yeah, there is a lot of that, I know, of like, I don't know. I think for us, it's been really cool to do this with the people we want to, and it's been working out so well. So it really is a dream come true. So
yeah, we both came into this sharing the same vision of what we wanted as a band, as a sound, like what we sonically wanted everything to sound like. And we agreed upon this big, loud, anthemic, like bands like what, AJR, who else?
One Republic, Imagine, like we're inspired a lot by 21 Pilots as well. Walk the Moon, Young the Giant, we, you know, so really like, I don't know. I know we're not top 40, but we're so inspired by like this top 40, like pop indie rock kind of
high
sounds.
Energy, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of it is like, is so based around the live show, which is what made us love working together so much, is we both kind of find our home on the stage and we kind of come alive there. And so we, a lot of when we're writing, when we're producing, it leads to the stage for us, because I think some of our favorite moments ever growing up have been at concerts that we've been to, and whether we're in the audience or we're on the stage. And so I don't know, when we're producing and writing, we're constantly asking the questions. We have a few filters that we run it through. We're always asking like, would 20,000 people stand in the pouring rain to sing this because they love the song so much? Would it be on the radio and would people want to listen to, like, stream it over and over? Like, is it that catchy, you know? And I don't know this, but there's something about creating a moment with a group of people in a room that you just can't replicate in any other way. And so a lot of our songs are designed to kind of make the listener on Spotify or Apple Music, wherever you listen to us, ask the question, I wonder what these guys sound like live, because I bet it's dope.
And then they come see you live.
And then they see us live, hopefully. So, but that's the vibe of who we are. We're a very, like, positive-minded pop band who has a killer live show. And we're just thankful to be here and able to do it for a living here in Nashville.
Great. Your unofficial slogan is "People should be nice." And I feel like you just kind of summed that up. But what does that mean to you? And how are you able to promote that through your music?
Yeah. "People should be nice" is a special, we call it our mantra for sure. So when the band name was being decided, first of all, coming up with a band name is—
it's brutal.
It's the worst thing a human can do.
So is coming up with a podcast name, I'll tell you that.
Oh my gosh.
Love the name of your podcast though. Thank you. I was geeking out over it because I'm a big fan of, like, John Hughes films and Richard Linklater and all of those, and just
I know. I need Julia to watch more of those. I want to talk about them so badly.
Well, he can get on it with you.
Yeah. Yes.
Just Nick can get on another day and y'all just talk about no, "People should be nice." So when we came up with the band name Kid Politics, the mantra "people should be nice" came all together at the same time. So I was scrolling through social media and I found this photo of this young girl. She's probably 3 years old or so. And she's on her dad's shoulders holding a sign that she can't read because she's so young, but it says, "Just be nice" is what the sign says. And I remember sending it to Nick and just being like, this is everything. And it started a conversation for us of, honestly, even outside of the band name, it started a conversation for a moment of, what if adults started treating one another the same way kids treat one another on a playground? Which is like, you know, you don't care what color your skin is. You don't care how much money is in your bank account. You don't care how bruised up your knees and elbows are. You don't care who you love. You don't care your past. You just want to play on the swings together. You want to push each other down the slide. And, you know, what if adults thought about each other the same way? It would change everything. It would, you know, I don't know. It would literally change the world. "People should be nice," which led to Kid Politics.
Interesting.
Adults thinking through the politics, if you will, quote unquote, of kids. So that's been a big thing for us. Of, I know we've kind of made some decisions where we've said, if we get to the end of our days as a band, as humans, we don't want to have just put out catchy pop songs that are 3-3.5 minutes long. That would kind of— it'd be cool. Like, we can, you know, people make livings at that, and that's awesome. But what if we were able to go one step further and, like, put out dope pop music, but have something to say at the same time? And so as we're touring, we're just really kind of launching "People Should Be Nice" alongside Kid Politics, and we have big dreams of doing things in different cities as we tour and in Nashville. And we can talk about some upcoming things a little later in the podcast, but it's helped us define who we are, what we want to say, and it just makes Kid Politics way bigger than just two random dudes who met each other in Nashville, because our vision is so much bigger than just even Nashville. It's really kind of bringing people together in a really cool way. And there's nothing that you can bring people together with easier, I feel like, than music. And so it all kind of comes together just like that. Kid Politics, "People Should Be Nice." It's so simple.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, me too. And since, you know, this since Kid Politics is so much more than just like a pop duo, like you were saying, it's not just the music, it's really the whole vision, the whole message. Have you run into any kind of unique challenges while you were pursuing your career, maybe in staying true to what you wanted to be, or just like, you know, basic music industry issues?
Yeah, I mean, naturally, yeah, it is a good question. Living in Nashville and pursuing the music industry, especially in 2022 right now, but even when we kind of started the band a few years ago, like, we got used to the word no a lot, over and over. We've had really high moments where we thought we were about to go tour the world and be, you know, living the life we had always dreamed of. And then the next day you get dropped from everything and you question whether or not this is going to work out. And then you make a decision together to keep pushing through. And here we are now. We have our first record deal ever. We're looking at some really cool things coming up. And yeah, so we've definitely seen some heartbreak. We've definitely seen some moments where we almost gave up a million times, especially over COVID times. Like, being, we literally had some stuff booked around the world where we were about to go play like the biggest college festival in India. We were booking flights to Australia, and we have a massive fan base in Russia right now as well. And so we were booking stuff there. We were looking at clubs in the UK. I mean, we had some stuff booked with the label that we were about to go make happen. And then literally all of this got canceled. And so, so we've had to relearn how to be musicians since 2020. And I say how to be musicians, how to be a band who isn't touring, you know, because like I said, one of our biggest things is our live show. And so when that is stripped away from you as a band, where do you go? What do you do? And enter TikTok. And so plug to go follow us on TikTok, Kid Politics Official, go follow the boys. But we are hustling and trying to make that happen as well. But yeah, booking shows right now. And yeah, a million hurdles with being a band coming out of Nashville, especially a pop band in Nashville. It's country music city, and kind of having to put our foot in the ground to define who is Kid Politics, put the flag in the ground. Who are we in a city that isn't necessarily known for pop music, which is can be a really cool thing for us.
So you mentioned that, you know, since 2020, there's been lots of obstacles you faced, and you said that you guys have kind of made the decision to come together and just keep pushing through that. So is there anything specifically that inspires you to continue to write music through these tough times?
I think initially, if you're going to like make a career out of being a musician and being in bands, like you have to be an absolute risk taker. You have to just live for your passion, like every moment of every day. So the highs are super high and joyful and everybody's so pumped. Then the next day or the next month, the lows just come crashing down. But you still wake up every morning thinking, this is what I love to do. I'm going to make this happen, right? And I mean, Kelby was kind of alluding to it earlier, but we signed our first record deal a month before COVID. We signed it the February before March shutdowns. And so we got a huge celebration. Oh my gosh, the biggest thing ever. We've been, you know, practicing, preparing, pouring our passions out, and then it all comes crashing down. And, but you just, it's what you do. It's what you love. There's no way you're going to stop us from doing it ever. I don't know if that answered your question. I don't remember what it was, but we love it. We're not going to ever stop.
Well, to tag on that, there's, it's really weird to be a musician because on paper, it doesn't make sense at all today. Like, I don't even know what the chances are of actually, and when I say making it, I'm not saying become like the next Justin Bieber. I'm just saying make a living at it, like very low statistics to even do that. So you kind of have to be a little crazy. And luckily, I think we're just crazy enough to keep this thing and keep the faith, because literally it's just waking up and I don't know how to do anything else. I don't know how to not be an artist. And yeah, that's a lot of what drives me is this is what I do. I sing, I write songs, and I don't know how to do anything else. I'm not as passionate about anything else. And so here we are.
I love that answer. I think it perfectly sums up. Like, it's not like you have to keep going. Like, you have to find a way to keep going. That's just your life. Like, you're gonna keep going because this is who you are.
Right.
Yeah. And I know you were saying, you know, COVID obviously slowed you guys down a lot and canceled a bunch of things, but were there any positive aspects of it? Like, did it give you a new mindset or a new, I feel like we all have to look at COVID in some kind of positive way. Was there anything that good that came out of it, basically?
I would answer that question with yes. For sure, some positive things came out of it, because you have to look at yourself in the mirror differently after a lot of after all of those shutdowns and being told that everything was canceled. You look at yourself and you have to ask the question: is this worth it to continue? Because, like I said, it doesn't. Being an artist right this moment in history is it probably doesn't make sense on paper more than any other time in history, and you have to make the conscious decision that this is who I am, this is what I'm going to continue to do. And so the good thing about COVID for us is it made us kind of plant our feet a little harder in who we are, in our songs, believe in ourselves, believe in this record, believe in our label, and keep pushing forward. Honestly, in some ways, keep pushing harder, because now you have to work through a little bit more noise to be heard.
That was really good. So earlier you said that the two of you were kind of like the perfect duo. It's perfect. It's exactly what your band needs. If there was anything that you could add to that, is there any artist you would like to collab with one day for a song or an album?
That's a good question. I feel like this is the part in interviews where I would want to say, like, oh, let's take a break and let me think for 30 seconds.
Well, obviously what's hot right now as a collab is Travis Barker. We would definitely love to have some Blink-182 chops behind our production.
A tattoo man.
Exactly. Exactly. He's just one of the Kardashians, apparently.
Yeah, that's the vibe.
No, but he's an insane drummer and an awesome producer as well. And so him jumping on board would be amazing. But who's out of the box?
He's out the box, dude. We have a couple. We've worked with a couple of DJs from Europe lately that low-key we might be dropping some of their some stuff. We've collabed with them maybe later this year.
Interesting, because like you give a bunch of artists, like, you know, Imagine Dragons, 21 Pilots, Walk the Moon, like that you kind of felt inspired by, like, you felt similar to, but would you not want to collab with them because you want to kind of have some different taste in your music?
Well, of course I want to collab with Imagine Dragons. I'd love to collab with 21 Pilots. Yeah, for sure. I'd love to. I think some bucket list things would be like Ryan Tedder from One Republic. I kind of learned to sing with him in the car. Him and like Adam Levine from Maroon 5. Like, I feel like that's where I kind of got my vocal chops, was just singing their songs in the car and being like, oh, I literally remember a moment I was like, I didn't know I could sing that high. And then people liked that when I sung that high, was when I was just singing along with One Republic records. So he's a monstrous writer, producer. I'd love to work with him.
I got one out of the box. Silk Sonic. I love what they're doing right now with Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars. And they kind of just sit back and chill and vibe. And our music is the exact opposite. It's very much like in your face, noisy, exciting, anthemic pop rock. So if we could just kind of sit back, groove a little bit, chill, make some nice songs like that, that would be a perfect match.
I thought you were going to say you just want to come up with bass grooves with Sting.
I do want to come up with it.
Sting is like his dude.
Yeah.
And it makes total sense. Let's go. We actually cover a Police song live sometimes, which is awesome. And it's just like, I just know Nick is coming alive.
Yeah. And the crowd knows it, except for like our parents, because it came out in like the 80s. So.
Lovely. Okay, so can you kind of walk us through the creative process of writing and producing a song? Just sum it up the best you can.
Yeah, every song comes out and starts totally different, I feel like. Because I'm a singer, a lot of times it'll start with just like a random melody. So I'll just be sitting at the piano or something, and I'll just And I don't even know what that is, but I just made that up in the moment. But like, maybe I'll find some lyrics that fit that melody or something. But and then next thing you know, you have part of a song. But sometimes as well, like a lot of songs that we're looking to release soon and have been released lately have just come from real life experiences where we're either in a kind of a weird dark place or we're like in a really happy place and we're just trying to be honest. So sometimes they'll come from journaling and some key phrases will stick out and it's like, okay, those are being underlined. And it's just like a simple little statement. Like Straight to the Top, for example, was a song written because we wanted to be able to say honestly first to ourselves, like, even though we've been beaten up, I believe that we're going to go straight to the top. And so Straight to the Top doesn't always mean to the top 40 charts, but it just means that we're going to, you know, stand over what's coming at us. And we love to work out. I'm a runner. You do rowing and a lot of working out. And so like being able to write things that fit on like workout playlists and stuff like that is fun. Because sometimes I'll challenge myself to write a song that fits a playlist. So we have a song called Cool About It, for example. And when that song was written, I was trying to challenge myself to write a song that would fit, I can't remember what playlist, but some Spotify playlist. And Cool About It wasn't even going to be a Kid Politics song at first, but it was just a challenge for myself to write something that felt a certain way. But it was some of the most honest lyrics I'd ever written. And it just made sense for us to drop it as our music. And then, you know, then we both are music majors in college. So we both love to get nerdy behind the piano and talk about chords and progressions and how the song should go. So we're writing the songs and we're passionate about producing them ourselves as well, or at least being a part of that process. So a lot of times the song is being written a bit as we're in the studio finishing the track and stuff. And so we're building the drums, we're building the pianos and all the synths and stuff as the song is being finished. And once again, we're always asking the question, how is this going to go over live? Is this chorus cool enough? Is it big enough? Is it special enough of a melody, of a lyric that 20,000 people would stand in the pouring rain getting drenched because this is their favorite song in the world? We want to be that band. And so that's important for us. Another big thing, I remember being at a One Republic concert one time, and this moment changed the way I think about live shows, the way I think about honestly pop music in general. I was at this One Republic show, and on one side of me was this like teenage girl and her mom, and on another side there was like this older gentleman, probably in his 60s or so, and One Republic played their song Apologize, which is like piano ballady kind of song. It's too late to apologize. It's too late. And it's such a, it became a special moment live because I sat there watching thousands of people respond to this song the same way, which is super emotional. So like the teenage girl and her daughter were crying. This 60-year-old dude over here, I had no clue who these people are. He's crying. And I realized music creates moments for people. And it's not just like, oh, there's this song that touched people. It's like we all in this stadium had one moment together. And I want to be the artist. And this is why Nick and I love working together so well, because he's the same way. We want to be the artist who helps create those moments for people. I want to write songs that when people first get their driver's license and they get to turn on whatever music they want to listen to in the car, I want to be the artist that they're turning up their that song to, and they're creating memories that they'll remember for the rest of their life driving down the highway.
And actually, a very interesting story, really quickly. So yeah. I told my boyfriend about this interview, and like it was, we played it a while ago, so we've been listening to some of the songs since. And literally, like I think like on Friday, we were listening to "Why Can't It Be Us," like driving through town, and it was and like dancing in the car, and it was one of those moments. So you succeeded.
It's amazing. Well, that's why, I mean, I don't know. Songs can be moments. Songs can, and when I say that, I mean like songs can be moments that you will remember for the rest of your life, whether it's that moment right there or car, and you'll remember that forever. And you'll remember live shows that you've been to where maybe the artist says something beforehand, or it's just the way that the music hits you in a live environment differently than it did when it's just playing on the radio in your car. But it makes you feel things that you can't experience any other way. It's kind of like they say, like, oh, you smell a scent and it brings you back to like your grandma's cookies when you were 8 years old. I don't know. Like songs can do that too. I've been actually going back through on TikTok and doing a series where I'm just playing songs that I grew up singing in the car. And as I'm going through and finding these songs, it reminds me of moments when I was by myself driving in my Jeep when I was in high school, my first car, being able to choose the songs I wanted to listen to. And I had moments by myself, whether I was like, just, you know, rolled the windows down and mosquitoes were hitting me in the face and I'm just screaming these songs at the top of my lungs, having a blast, or my girlfriend just broke up with me in high school and I'm sitting there crying to myself listening to some sappy song. But those moments I will cherish forever, and I am just thankful that it's so easy just to sit at a piano and make those moments. And luckily people all around the world are listening to our music and give us that opportunity every day.
And going off of that, listening to your music, you have an album coming out very, very soon. Congratulations. Yes. Can you tell us about that?
The album is called People Should Be Nice, cleverly titled.
It's coming back.
It's 12 songs. 12 songs. Sucker.
A few have already been released that you can check out now on all your streaming platforms, but we're just, super excited to get these songs out in the real world, you know, and we put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into creating them. Long, late nights, early mornings, you know, set aside large chunks of time from our life to create these songs. And we're so excited to launch them out to the world in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, it comes out on May 20th.
May 20th, yeah. So put it in your calendar, draw a big circle around it, and stream Kid Politics' People Should Be Nice album. It's going to be our first album.
That is super exciting.
What, has there been two EPs? Two EPs.
Well, one EP. One EP. Just some singles, right?
Yeah, some singles, yeah. That's true.
That is super exciting, and super exciting for all your listeners and all your fans.
It's a dream when you become an artist and you're like, I'm going to put out songs. And some of like your favorite music is on albums. Like it's, you always dream of putting an album together. And then for your record label to say, boys, it's time to put their album out, mm-hmm. was a massive day for us. So all these songs we wrote and produced, there were too many trips, literally making coffee at 11 p.m. sometimes, knowing you're not going to go to bed until probably 4 a.m. because you got to figure out how to do this stuff.
It must be so great to like be so passionate about something and then to finally see it like come and being able to share it with the world.
Absolutely. And also like releasing a large chunk of songs at one time. I mean, 12, and especially in this age of, you know, streaming music where things are on playlists and people are making their own playlists and dropping songs from here and there and all making this perfect montage. To be able to deliver our perfect montage of our collection of songs that we're bringing to the table is super special, and we're happy that the label believes in that type of music release still.
Another thing too is I get asked sometimes by friends who are other musicians and stuff in Nashville. They're like, today in 2022, it's like, you should only release singles, they say. They're like, just release like one song a month. And like, you just got to push the single and it's got to be its own thing on TikTok and this and that. It's like, why are you doing a record, an album of 12 songs? It's like, because I dreamed of doing this since I was a kid. And I don't know, like, no algorithm is going to stop me from living my dreams out. And so it's just, I don't know why I wouldn't do it. The record is done. It's in the Dropbox folder. We've been given the green light and I am going to be partying like crazy that night.
That is awesome. Well,
first Good Politics full length record. It's crazy. Not many people get to say that. And we, so.
That is awesome. Congratulations. And what is one fan experience that sticks out that you kind of will remember for your whole career?
What the one that we'll remember for our entire career is when we first started getting a lot of international recognition, we have a ton of fans in Russia, in like Moscow. And we probably in 2021, yeah, we received through the mail it was like a literally a nesting doll, if you know what those are. It's one of those things. She had this fan, her name's Arena. She's amazing. She's been a listener for a while now. And she literally hand-painted this like Russian nesting doll with all of our song titles and drew Nick and I mm-hmm. on the doll in different ways. And I don't know, it sits on my, it sits on my studio desk all the time. And that moment of realizing, holy cow, like, it's not just cool our music is available on everybody's phones in the world. It's our music is available on everyone's phones in the world. People in different countries that we've never been to are choosing to press our name on a playlist every day and listen to us. And they cared enough to follow us on social media, DM us and ask us for a mailing address, hand paint a nesting doll, like a multi-layered situation, and mail it to us. And that kind of moment is special because it just, I don't know, it's just to know that you are creating something that people care enough about to physically do things like that blows my mind.
And earlier you had said that you had a bunch of future plans you wanted to talk about, so the floor is yours.
Floor is ours. Well, the big thing right now is we are dropping this record titled People Should Be Nice on May 20th, 2022. And it is a dream come true. It is songs that we have spent countless hours working on. Every sound on the record we have stressed about. We care about this so much. And the idea of the record is that we want this message of people should be nice to be so central to who Kid Politics is. You know, what if adults treated one another the same way that kids did on a playground? It doesn't matter who you are. We just want to treat one another equally and fairly is the idea of naming it People Should Be Nice. And it is, it has a lot of songs on it that we really believe in, that we cannot wait to play live. We can't wait to tour. We have some more tour announcements that we're finalizing soon that we can't announce yet, but those are exciting as well. But May 20th, mark the calendar, biggest record of the year, New Arts of the Year Grammys coming up. I don't know, I'm kidding. But
come to the East Coast on tour and we will be there.
Will be there.
Where are you guys at?
We're from the East Coast, like Northeast.
Heard. Okay.
Yeah. So coming.
Yeah, we gotta get there.
And lastly, do you have any advice for anyone entering the music industry or just starting off, doesn't really know what to do?
What do you think, bro?
I would say that just practice, hone your skill, fall in love with your instrument, with the dedication that's required. keep singing and start writing songs early, even if you play saxophone. Like melodies, you know, sing some, learn that syllable, because that's one of like the easiest, most organic ways to kind of get how you feel out is to sing. But just fall in love with it and keep pushing and find others that you can create with, because that makes everything so much more fun. And then just keep chasing open doors. And if the door's not open, push it open. But yeah, fall in love with your instrument, fall in love with the craft, and study it too. There's so many resources online and so many other artists you can listen to and try to recreate and then put your own spin on it.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. We had such a great time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Of course. And if anyone listening wants to follow you on social media or listen to your music, where can they do that?
You can find us on Instagram and TikTok. We are Kid Politics Official. And you can go to our website and kind of find everything going on right now at kidpoliticsofficial.com. It's kind of our hub there. So, and we have a Discord server as well that we love to hang out with our people. So you can find that link as well on our website or at like our link in bio on any social media. So that's where like Nick and I are always on Discord. We kind of leave it on in the background while we're kind of working in the studio every day and love to hang out with people. So we get on there and we share new music that we've never heard of with each other. And I don't know, we talk about movies. I get to share pictures of my dog that at least make me laugh. And yeah, it's a really cool place. So come hang on social media as well. That's us.
And to anybody listening at home, if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to follow us on our social medias. Our Instagram and TikTok is at acoam.podcast, and our Twitter is at acoam_podcast. You can follow us there to keep up and hear about more awesome guests like Kid Politics.
And as always, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on A Coming of Age Movie.